angel or somebody who stole the household idols or something, had them hidden. And the impression I got was he wants us to willingly open our backpacks and let him unpack them, because there are some idols down there that we don't even think about it. They just like kind of always been there. And to let him unpack it, because they're just going to weigh us down. They're going to slow you down so that he can pack even more. I guess I need to turn my sound up.
Yeah.
We're going to spend some time with this new song. We'll let the words sink in.
You're here with the grace of a Savior, with the heart of the Father. You're all we need. With the hands of a healer, with the power of your Spirit, you're all we need. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of you.
Let's go back to the beginning.
You're here with the grace of a Savior, with the heart of a Father. Of a healer, with the power of your Spirit, you're all we need. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name.
You're here.
You're here. You're the provider. You're all I've ever needed. Jesus, you supply. You're here with wonder-working power. Everything you breathe on, coming back to life.
Sing that much again. You're here.
You're here. You're the provider. You're all I've ever needed. Jesus, you supply. You're here with wonder-working power. Everything you breathe on, coming back to life.
At the mention.
At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Oh, Jesus, just a whisper of your name, silence wind and waves
at the mention of your name. At the mention of your name.
At the mention of your name, every chain. Jesus, just a whisper of your name will silence wind and waves
at the mention of your name.
You are my strength, you are my anchor, and you never fail. You are my hope, you will deliver. chain will break.
I know
everything will change.
Then to respond.
Does anybody have a word from the Lord that they feel like the Holy Spirit put on their heart, either for someone specific, body?
Okay, as the baby was walking past me, God was showing me new beginning. This is a new beginning. By the time she reached teenager, this church is going to be totally different. So new beginning is what God keeps putting in my head.
I don't want to hog this thing, but kind of praying over whether or not this was for everybody or just for Father Mark, but if I gave it to you at the sermon, you'd probably make me give it to the whole congregation, so I thought I'd go ahead and do it. I don't know why I keep having these backpacking analogies, except that we just got back from that great trip in Montana, but when I was in Nashville last week, which is why I was not here Sunday, for an international conference, I was actually praying about your word, and the Lord gave me this image that had to do with the prophecy that I was going to give you about your word today. But the image was, on that trip, we came across a meadow that had a lake at the backside of it, and it was fairly flat, but it was coming down out of a pretty steep mountainside. I've never seen this before, but there were three streams side by side for about 150 yards coming down out of that mountain, and they were about 10 feet wide, and they were too deep to step across without getting your feet wet. So these were significant streams, and they were three of them, and they were side by side, just flowing down out of the mountain right into this lake. Of course, you know, the CEC and our amazing emphasis in the three streams. The thing that the Lord told me about this word is that when I walked up to the lake, which was flat, just calm, the trout were feasting. Every one of those streams was providing this amazing food for the fish that were in that lake. In fact, I've never seen as many trout hitting the surface of a lake in my entire time there. There must have been this amazing abundance of food coming from these three streams. And Father, your word is going to be the evangelical stream, because I think that's kind of going to be where you're going to go. But I just want us all to know that there's a whole lot of food today coming from the three streams that are operating in this room. You don't have to come up to the surface and get it, but it's there, and it's there in great abundance, if you want it.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Well, I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody out here. As we see the clouds outside, there's someone here with a cloud over that the Lord wants to lift today. And he wants to restore sunshine to your life. And if you would just enter into the service, enter into worship, and just kind of fall back into the Lord's arm today, then he will lift that cloud, and he will bring the sunshine back to you.
The Lord be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the 32nd chapter of Genesis, beginning in the 22nd verse. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and crossed over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have prevailed with God and with men." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why do you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of that place the form of God, "For I saw God face to face, and my soul was saved." When the form of God passed by, the sun rose on him, but he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, will be forever. Amen.
Our New Testament reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Thank you.
because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, for she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
So let's just pray for our children. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for our children. Praying that you would always keep them in your hands, that you would raise them up to be strong men and faithful, with courage and strength.
Amen.
If you could just humor me for a moment and just look around at the people around you. If I could suggest that all of you who are here have been in the process in your life of running the race, fighting the good fight, desiring to finish the course, to finish well, and to take great consolation in that. Great consolation as you look around, especially the readings we've had the last few weeks about faith, and to take great comfort as you look around and recognize that you are and have a desire to finish well, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to have that crown of glory that the Lord has for you, and to experience and taste the goodness of the Lord, and to continue to draw from that well of salvation, that place of continued comfort, and be reminded, even as you look around at others in regards to their own story, their own journey, their own ups and downs, that It's a place that we're going. So what I wanted to do is hopefully take you a little bit on a journey today, and praying that it will bless you. I wanted to just kind of casually talk a little bit about some scripture passages and pray that in light of Father Don's word that he got earlier, that the Lord would bless this, and this would be something that you could indeed feed upon. But before I mention that, I just wanted to say something about that first reading from Genesis about Jacob wrestling with the Lord. It says an angel. And that whole dialogue that ensues about, I won't let you go, and then the angel says, what is your name? I'm sure you've heard homilies on this over the years, the fact that the last time that Jacob was asked that question, what is your name, was from his father, Isaac, and he lied. He said he was somebody that he wasn't. And now Jacob is saying, this is who I am. And at that moment, the Lord changes his name. The Lord has a way of wrestling with us, and in the wrestling with us, things can come out that the Lord wants to have us name so that we can be freed of them. There's a thing in Christian spirituality that says you never, ever keep anything in the dark. You never keep anything in the dark. You always bring it into the light so that it can be exposed, and the Lord at times can wrestle and tussle with us, even that's how we can feel, because he's wanting something to come to the surface so it can be named so that he can remove it. And whether or not Jacob was realizing part of what was going on, he was moving from an orphan to a son. Now, on the one hand, it would be able to say, but he knew who his mom and dad were, but he didn't know who he was. So he was moving from being an orphan to a son. In that psalm, it talks about, I look to the mountains, from when comes my help. We are aware of passages that talks about needing to remove the mountains, but in this particular psalm, what that's referring to is I look to those places by which I have received strength. Those are like pivotal landmarks that I can continue to go back to, that's a reminder of who I am and who the Lord is and that connection there. So I look to the mountains from which comes my strength. And sometimes if you've ever climbed a mountain, it can be a bit rigorous, but when you get up there, it's amazing how you can see. And so the value of climbing that mountain. And then even when you come down the mountain, you can look back and see the mountains there and be reminded of what it was that you saw when you were up on top. And then that passage from Timothy about how all scripture is inspired and how important that is, because there will come a time when we will hear so cotton-picking many voices that the... We're going to have to learn how to sort those voices out to know what voices we listen to and what voices we don't listen to. So that was just sort of a little commentary. But what I wanted to do was take you on this little journey that my hope and prayer, it's already started. But is to take you to the book of Genesis, not the reading that we had today from Genesis, but to take you to Genesis, and just to talk with you for a moment about recalling when God created Adam and Eve, and God creates Adam, and he makes him in his image and likeness, and he puts him, well, they don't have to go, and he puts him in the garden. And I want to draw out several things for you just to consider as I take you on this little journey. That there were several things that would need to be happening in this whole event that takes place without targeting the specific scriptures, because I don't want to take time for that. Might I suggest to you that the number one thing, the thing that was the priority, was the fact that God had created them to be in union, communion, fellowship, intimacy with him. There's that wonderful passage about at the evening of the day, the Lord walked with him through the garden. And that sense of ease and security and fellowship and all that needed to take place within that environment. Something else that happens is the fact that God brings all these animals in front of Adam, and Adam gets to name them, and he gives them all a name. And the idea of being able to name something means that you have a sense of dominion and authority by the very fact that you can name it. And so God is sharing that sense of stewardship with Adam, that now he has this authority, this dominion in his sphere of influence, and it's been given to him, and he can name things. And by being able to name them, then he has that sense of dominion. The next thing that he's told to do, and it's the word in Hebrew, is it said that he is to guard the garden. So he's in fellowship. He has dominion, but he's also to guard it, which raises the question, of course, to guard it from what? And we know that story. And it'll be really important that he keeps those in line, right? The sense of fellowship, the sense of dominion, and the sense of being a watchman. But it's interesting, the fourth thing that he's to do is to till the garden. To manage the garden, to till it. On a secular way of looking at this, just so that we are all on the same page, work from the very beginning is very, very good. God called it good. To be able to work is a good, good thing. It's not a curse. To be able to work is a really good thing. From the very beginning, God created it so. So he's to till the garden. He's to do everything that a gardener would do, if you like, in regards to that soil. Keeping in mind the fellowship, the union, the communion, keeping in mind the authority, the dominion, keeping in mind guarding, that he's tilling this, he's working this. So as he's doing that, he's aware of these other things. He's aware of this other stuff that's going on. You got that picture? Okay. So to allow that to settle in a little bit about what that would be like in your own life, in your own journey, if you were to take that and transpose that onto your own life about an ordering of things, about fellowship, communion, union with the Lord. The idea of, as a new creation in Christ, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, that there's this degree of dominion and authority that the Lord has put into you by the very nature of you having been made in his image and likeness. And also in regards to your personal story as to what, where you're at or whatever, is to recognize also to be on guard, to be watchful, and to begin to recognize what it is that you're to be watchful for, what it is that you're to be on guard for. Because what it is that you're to be watchful for now or on guard for now might have been different several years ago. There may be a new wrestling that's going on. There may be a new wrestling that's going on, that something's surfacing. And so it's looking at that and saying, okay, what is this? What is this? Because I know I'm in union, in fellowship, and I'm a beloved son or daughter, and I know I've been given dominion and authority in this sphere that I have. And I know I need to be on guard and keep to tilling this. You still with me? So let's just keep in mind the tilling part for a moment and go to that parable that I have, several weeks ago I had said to you that Jesus makes a most profound statement in the parable of the sower and the seed, because remember what he says is, if you don't get this parable, you're not going to get anything else. If you don't understand this, you will not be able to grasp anything else. I don't know about you, but that would have got my attention. And because all of you are striving to finish the race, to finish well, to fight the good fight, when Jesus says something, it's important that you understand this parable. And understand has much more to do than just this. Okay? It's understanding it, if you like, informationally, but it's also understanding it spiritually. It's understanding it by way of experience. Okay? So Jesus talks about this sower and the seed, and I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but you got this image of the sower that's out there sowing seed, right? He's just out throwing all kinds of seed. And we know who the sower is, right? Jesus is a sower, and he's sowing, he's constantly sowing seed, right? And we know that that seed falls in different places, right? The seed falls in different places. Some of that seed falls on a path that's been really worn. It's been worn over and over and over again. In fact, it's so worn, it's very, very familiar. It's very, very familiar. And you can stay on that path because it's so familiar to you. And some of the seed falls in an area that has some rocks and stuff. And some of that seed falls in an area where there's some thorns and thistles, and then some of that seed falls on this good soil. You with me? So going back to what I was saying to you earlier about the whole scene in the Garden of Eden, about tilling the soil, and here you have the seed that's being thrown out. So on the one hand, you can say the sower is really important, but another thing that's really, really important there is the seed, right? The seed is really, really important. What is that seed that just got dropped on your life and my life? That seed that he is constantly throwing out, this seed is landing all over the place. And some of that seed is landing in your life, right? Even right now, some of that seed is landing in your life right now. And in the process of that seed landing in your life, you can look at that parable and to say, well, I have fellowship, union, communion with the Lord. I have a place of dominion and authority. I need to be on guard, and I need to be tilling that soil so it's good soil. When that seed lands on that soil, I'm going to understand a whole lot more what it means to be on guard. I'm going to understand a whole lot more about dominion and authority. I'm going to understand a whole lot more about fellowship, union, communion. Because every time that seed lands in that good soil, I have a deepening understanding experientially, knowledge, spiritually, all of that. And it begins to just fascinate me that I see what it is that can grow in my garden. Kind of blows me away what it is that can grow in my garden. But even more fascinating, what it is that he wants to plant in there that it will grow. He so wants to plant that it'll grow. So it'll grow. And so he's constantly throwing that out. And then later in that chapter, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus also says a very profound thing, where he says, take heed, or another translation would say, be careful. Take heed how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Another way of looking at that would be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you hitch your wagon to. make sure that you're a little on guard and you take dominion and you recognize fellowship in regards to taking heed how it is that you hear. Because there can be a lot of voices that you and I need to filter out. To be very careful and take heed what it is that we listen to. So I had suggested to you also a couple of weeks ago about this whole dynamic of faith. And I had suggested to you these several venues of looking at faith. And the first one that we had looked at was, it comes in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus with the disciples comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the dad is there with his son who's in such great need, and he cries out to him, if you can do anything to help us, if you can do anything to help us, please help us. And remember we looked at that? And that was an example, and you can draw other examples from the scriptures, but that would be an example of weak faith. And Jesus says, if you can, if you can, anything is possible to the one who believes. Kind of reminds me of tilling, being on guard, dominion, authority, fellowship, communion. And then the father cries out, oh, I believe, increase my faith. Increase a capacity, Lord, for my soil to be so rich of being able to hear what you just said. Anything is possible to he or she that believes. Is that true? Because what if my understanding, what if my experience says, well, that's not true? So therefore, I have created an altar of my own making that fits my theologically reasoning so as to, this is how I live. I live recognizing that my worldview is the only worldview that works. And what if the Lord wants to wrestle that away from us? What if he wants to wrestle all that away from us? Just wrestle that away from us. And he wants to take out this notion that anything's possible to one who believes. And then you drop that seed into your own life and say, Lord, what does that mean in my circumstance? What does that mean in my situation right here, right now, that anything is possible for the one who believes? And the next one was, remember the leper that came up to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I'm willing. And he reaches out and touches him. And the man's completely healed. And remember, in regards to that digression, the very fact that Jesus reaching out and touching the leper immediately rendered him unclean. But he takes on the fullness of all of our brokenness. And we talked a little bit about that particular passage as, and you could use other passages, as what might be called confused faith. And that is getting back to this whole altar. We can create an altar in which we base our worldview, our experience, our reasoning, or lack of experience on, and to say, well, it must not be the Lord's will to do this or to do that. And we play that card. And it becomes so used for some people that we have to keep replacing it. You know, like every few years, you have to get your credit card replaced. It's like, I have to get that card replaced, if it's your will, if it's your will. Because I've learned to live within the parameters of fact, that the fact of the matter is, I know that God is not capricious, but quite frankly, I look around and sometimes I tend to think that he is. Or maybe he's just not all-powerful. Remember, that was the whole insight of C.S. Lewis in The Problem of Pain. What if God is all-powerful, but he's not all-good? What if God is all-good, but he's not all-powerful? But what if God is all good and all powerful? Now we have the problem of pain. Is it your will? Well, apparently, Jesus never made anybody sick. Now, you can do anything you want with that, but the whole idea of saying, Lord, well, when I'm trying to figure out what your will is, all I know is this soil that you want to plant that seed in, you want it to produce not 30, not 60, and 100-fold. It's your will, and anything's possible to the person who believes, and so I need to be on guard against voices that want to take away from that, because I've been given dominion and authority in my sphere of influence because you call me to be in this place of intimate fellowship and union with you 24/7. That's what needs to be growing. That's what needs to be growing. And then the next one had to do with the woman who said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made well. And we looked at that, and again, you could use different scripture passages, but as an example of strong faith, that she knew if she just weaved her way in there, if she just touched the hem of his garment, because she apparently had heard enough testimonies about who Jesus was, but she recognized her situation as being unclean, but she thought, if I just can touch him, if I can just touch him, I know I will be made well. An example of strong faith. And you go back and you look at the soil in her life and to say, there must have been some tilling going on in that soil. You following me? And then we get that example of, we looked at was great faith, and that was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, a blind man who's lying on the side of the road, and apparently he too has heard testimonies of Jesus, and here he's passing by, and he yells out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd turns and tells him to be quiet and shut up, but Bartimaeus does just the opposite. He cries out even more. And we looked at that whole thing again of recognizing that here you have the crowd who all of a sudden has taken on the role of antagonist in the very process of they are the ones who are welcoming Jesus. They are the ones who are entertaining Jesus. They're the ones who are acknowledging his presence passing through their town. And here you have somebody calling out and they turn to him and say, we don't do that kind of stuff here. That's not who we are. We have certain protocol, certain ways you do things. It's ways we've always done it. We've always done it this way. We don't do that. So please, be quiet or leave. And he calls out all the louder. And Jesus calls him to him and says, what do you want me to do? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And you may remember that whole dialogue that ensues and then the narrative that follows, because Jesus says, your faith has made you well. And it says, Bartimaeus then followed him up the road. Where was he heading? Jerusalem. Great faith. You go back and you look at Bartimaeus in the midst of his blindness and you think, man, what was the soil? What was going on in that soil in Bartimaeus' life that when he heard Jesus was passing by, what emerged, what came out of him was this cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I believe you can do this. I believe it's your will to do this. And I know if you just touch me, I'm going to be made well. And I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care who wants to take that away from me. I'm not listening to that voice because I know what I know what I know. Because you see the soil here, that seed got planted. And in the process of that seed got planted, I've learned to be on guard, to be on guard for certain things. Because I know that who I am and I have a degree of dominion and authority to be able to say no to some things and yes to other things because I'm not an orphan. I'm a beloved son in this place of union, fellowship, communion. And I keep going back to that and I keep going back to that and I keep going back to that. You still with me? Is this okay? So let's end by just then taking a little look at this gospel, where the gospel ends and Jesus says, basically, but when I come back, am I going to find any faith on the earth? Will it have just evaporated? Will the seed, having gone out, will it have landed on the path? Will it have landed among rocks? Will it have landed in thorns and thistles? And it just never really got to that good soil. Please do not hear that as any kind of accusation. It again is just a reminder. It's a reminder. It's a reminder about going back and saying, God created each of us corporately, individually, in his image and likeness, and placed us in a particular, specific environment to be in union, fellowship, communion with him 24/7, constantly. And in that place where he's put us, to be in that union, that fellowship, that communion, he's given you authority and dominion over that sphere of influence. It's not just being pushed around. It's being able to recognize yes or no. And so therefore, it's being on guard and being careful how it is that you listen. Because that soil needs to continually be tilled. And tilled and tilled and tilled. It says in Romans chapter 10, 17, faith comes through hearing, and what is heard is the word of God. So as I said a moment ago, when Jesus says, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. See, I would even go so far as to be careful who it is that you allow to speak into your life. Have you ever had anybody that wants to speak into your life? What's that?
Hundreds.
Francis McNutt once said, if I listened to every word that somebody had for me, I would be crazy by now. It's talking about being on guard. Okay? Be careful how you hear. So what if I were to take everything that I just said on this journey that I have been suggesting that I'm taking you on, I don't know if you've experienced that or not, and to put that on that gospel. About Jesus talks about this story of this unjust judge and this widow who comes seeking some justice, some help for this from this unjust judge. So I don't want to take a lot of time to do this, but it would be helpful if we had a little understanding of Middle Eastern culture and the whole thing of what's called shame, honor, society. And what it is that's going on. But to kind of cut to the chase here a little bit, there's some things in this parable that are very, very obvious, and maybe not so obvious, because our culture, our particular culture here in the United States, is not so much based on shame, honor. We're based more on a almost kind of an abstract objective of what's right and wrong. Okay, we tend to be more self-focused. And I don't mean that as a criticism, but we tend to be more here as opposed to what would bring shame onto my family or what would bring honor onto my family. We don't necessarily think in those terms as much, the shame, honor thing. Now, it sounded like a little bit of a digression, so it's just kind of like putting that on the shelf for a moment. But just be aware that that's part of what's going on in this context. See, it's shameful how she's being treated. Utterly shameful. And a culture like that hearing that would know that. It's not about it just being wrong. It's not just about the fact that she was being unjustly treated. It's a fact it was shameful. You just don't do that kind of stuff. You just simply don't do that. You with me? So, what does this widow represent? Well, on the one hand, the widow represents a widow. And she comes before this unjust judge, And one of the things that you can be aware of is in that culture, men always were the ones who went before the judge. Women didn't go. Women wouldn't do that. For all intents and purposes, women weren't even allowed to do that. So you look at her and to realize, obviously she's a widow, so she doesn't have a husband. But wasn't there a dad, a grandfather, an uncle, a nephew, a brother, someone who could go on her behalf? But there's this sense that she's absolutely, completely, totally alone. She has no one to advocate for her. And she goes before this just judge, and the judge has, it says, no regard for God. And remember, in Hebrew, a person who lives their life as though God does not exist is considered a fool. And he also has no regard or respect for anybody else's opinion. Now, in the Greek, to have no respect or concern about anybody else's opinion is called a what? An idiot. Okay, that's what that word means. The word literally means that you have no sense, if you like, of the common good. So to live a foolish, idiotic life would kind of way of saying, I think you're a bit narcissistic. Because you're living your life as though God doesn't exist and you really don't care much about anybody else, only to the extent that it'll affect you. And Jesus is pointing out kind of the situation in which this woman finds herself. And what does she do? This is the humor part, but we miss the humor part. The humor part is a fact that Jesus says she goes and starts pounding on that door and starts pounding on that door and starts pounding on that door and keeps yelling and yelling for this judge to come down and help. One of the translations says that he's thinking about this and says, if I don't go down and open the door, she might give me a black eye. She might actually sock me in the eye. I'm not doing it because I have any concern for God or any concern for anybody else, but the fact this is driving me, okay? And that's part of the humor part, because if people would hear that, and they go, yeah, can you imagine if you're, you know, living next to that and you hear this woman in the middle of the night, bang, 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 bang. It's like you want to call the judge and go, would you take care of that? You know, she's keeping everybody up. She's driving us, right? But that's the only resource she has. You see what I mean? She doesn't have any other thing that she can do. All she can do is cry out. And cry out and cry out. And the Lord says, you know, this judge finally will come down and take care of that need. So what about those of you who profess to know the Lord because you are in union, fellowship, communion with Him, because you have dominion and authority? All of this stuff I've been sharing with you. You cry out to the Lord, won't He quickly vindicate His righteous? But when He comes back, will there be any faith on the earth? Do you follow what I'm saying? It's this understanding that all of a sudden we find ourselves in situations to say, Lord, I think what you are saying to me is not only stay the course, never give up, but that you are faithful to always show up, even if it's not on my timetable. Remember when the Lord showed up at the tomb of Lazarus? And Mary and Martha came and said, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Lord, you're late. And he was absolutely perfectly on time. Jesus, both now and in eternity, didn't lose his watch. He's not, oh, dang, I had that appointment. You know, I was supposed to be down there and deal with this particular situation. Where did I put my watch? Where did I put my timepiece? What happens if all of a sudden this is a call? Because remember, Jesus is not that far from Jerusalem. And remember when I shared with you the travel document? Luke chapter 9, verse 51. That Jesus, from that time on, put his face towards Jerusalem. And he was heading in that direction. And in the midst of that, Jesus has become more and more, because of what he's doing and what he's saying, adversarial. there's more and more pushback in light of everything that he's doing. He's being confronted more and more, and he's told his disciples, so bear with me for a moment. Remember, this is both in Matthew 10, and I typically have targeted Mark chapter 3. Jesus calls the disciples to him. He gives them his word. He sends them out to preach, to teach, to heal, right? And in particular, in Matthew 10 and 11, if you read that, you've got one example after another, after another, after another to say, guys, you're going to be taking this good news. It's really good news. It's tremendous news about the kingdom, about who each of these people are as his beloved sons and daughters. Set them free from demonic oppression and heal them and give them the good news. And you're going to run in over and over and over to people who don't want to hear it. And they don't want to change. And they want to stay exactly the way they are. And you're going to run into that over and over and over. And I'm sure they could be looking at one another. Wait a minute, I got good news. Everybody wants to hear good news. Everybody wants to hear good news. Don't you want to hear good news? I want to hear good news. But what happens is there's a lot that don't want to hear that. And so Jesus is telling the disciples, I come back, my beloved brothers and sisters, will I find any faith on the earth? Do you know how quickly the Lord comes to your rescue? Do you know how quickly and absolutely faithful he is? His mercies are renewed each and every morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Whether that be Psalm 23 or whatever, to go back, remember, to go back to that good soil and make sure that you go back to that soil and go, what was that seed that you gave me that I put there that's growing? That's where my focus is. My focus is not on the path. My focus is not on the rocky ground, or my focus is not on the thorns and thistles. My focus is on this good soil, and I realize that that flows from this intimacy, from this dominion, from being on guard, and I'm right here, and that seed's being. And so when I look up, I look at my particular circumstances right here, right now. I cry out to the Lord, and do I have to be like that widow that cries out and believe that I don't have a hearing? Or can I believe and trust because of that intimacy that he always hears? And he's reminding me, I may be wrestling with you a little bit, my beloved one. I may be wrestling with you a little bit so something surfaces so that I can take it from you. And your very crying out is setting you free, even though you may not see that. But you have to trust the good work I have begun into you. I will bring it to completion. He who is faithful has called you, he will do it. What if we took that and said, that's what I am tilling. That's what I'm tilling. That's what I'm needing to make sure continues to flourish, because that's the truth. And remember, the truth sets you free, and the free brings you to his love. They're intimately tied together. Revelation, liberation, covenant. Truth, freedom, love. Is that helpful? Is that any food? Okay. So how about you pull out your papers and let's do the Nicene Creed. So that's on page 4. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And also with you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to you, O Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise. Yes, indeed.
Father, all-powerful and ever-living God, we do will always and everywhere to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through his cross and resurrection, he freed us from sin and death, and called us to the glory that has made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. Father, everywhere we proclaim your mighty works, for you've called us out of darkness into your own wonderful light. And so, all the choirs of angels in heaven, we proclaim your glory and join in their unending hymn of praise. You are holy indeed, the fountain of all holiness. Let your Holy Spirit come upon these gifts to make them holy, so they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was given up to death, a death he freely accepted, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the whole world for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of fallen and broken humanity. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In memory of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Father, this life-giving bread, this saving cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. May all of us who share in the body and blood of Jesus be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit. Father, remember your church throughout the world. Thank you, Papa. Make us grow in love together with our patriarch, our bishop, and all the clergy. Remember those for whom we now pray. And Father, I pray in light of Father Don's prophetic word, Lord, any of these seeds that were planted, Lord, that would produce not 30, not 60, but 100-fold.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I pray in light of Deacon Jason's prophetic word about anyone who may have a sense of a cloud over them. Lord, anyone who's struggling, feeling despondent, depressed, oppressed, lonely, fearful, Lord, we just pray that that would lift.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that in this Eucharist today, again, we can tug on heaven.
Yes.
Lord, contending for those things, believing and trusting that it is your will, that if we just touch you, Lord, we call out to you, you hear us.
Yeah.
Lord, not only on our own needs, but for those things that we are contending for, and for our nation. Lord, for the sanctity, the sacredness of life, for those who would be in harm's way.
Yes.
Lord, all those petitions, prayers that are known to you in our hearts, Lord, as we continue to fight the good fight. Draw our hearts, Father, to remember the poor and broken. As we receive the body and blood of Jesus, may we be transformed to become the body of Christ to the world. Have mercy on us all, O Lord, for you have made us worthy to share eternal life with all the saints. May we praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
Grant us peace.
Behold God's love for you. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, we praise you that in these holy gifts there is healing for body, soul, and spirit. Though I am not worthy to receive you, only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Let this be the hour. Let this be the moment when healing flows like rivers from your throne. Let this be the time when bones and joints are mended, when thoughts and sighs are righted and made whole. When healing flows like rivers from your throne, I'll wait patiently, even though darkness tries to close out your light. You're making all things new. Thus you have said, thus it shall be. Let this be the time when our eyes see your beauty, when mysteries and treasures are revealed. Let this be the time when secret places heal, when freedom roars out triumph in your name. When freedom roars out triumph in your name. When healing flows like rivers from your
still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful God forever. Still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me, let faith arise, let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are there for God forever. Let faith arise, let faith arise. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Let faith arise, let faith arise. Open my eyes. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember.
Thank you.
will leave you,
and I will never forsake you.
The peace of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Your name is a strong mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing louder. Nothing has the power to save, but your name is a strong.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I do lie to God. I'm supposed to be going Russia. And I'm like, just stop again. Oh, what do you call it? I literally need to work. Like the keymaker, huh?
Hey, baby girl. I'm going to go take off this cloth, and then I'm going to go back and count money in that room.
I just...